happy birthday, church. So glad that you guys are here today to join in the celebration. And one of the things that's fun, you're going to see in the video in a little bit, it's fun to look back at what God's been doing and to be reminded of some of those things. And whether you, many of you in this room in this last year have gotten baptized. Some of you have given your life to Jesus. Some of you have taken some big next steps. And we give all glory and honor and praise to God for that. And the best news is, the best is yet to come, right? God is still at work and God is still moving. Amen. We can celebrate that, right? Exactly 6 years ago today, the Fountain Church began. And I remember the day well. And it's not just about the day, it's about the season and stuff like that. But I remember the very first time on our official launch Sunday when I welcomed people to the Fountain. That was a surreal deal, you know? The very first time it ever been done in a real, you know, in a real kind of service. And so, welcome to everybody to the Fountain. And usually as a pastor, when you say, welcome to blank church, whatever church it is, and you say, you know, people look at you like, you know, kind of like, you know, a little bit of a smile on their face, like, that's my church, this is my pastor, you know, I love this place, these are my people. But it was like flatline. And I realized in that moment, we have no history. We have no history at all. And at this moment, God has not done, well, God had done a lot of things to get the Fountain off the ground. But there is a lot of things where most of the people in this church had not experienced God working through this church. And so I realized this doesn't mean anything to most people in here. And so it was kind of a surreal deal. But the Fountain, when we began with just two people. And since that time, it's began to grow. We've grown into a congregation. We've grown into a community that's impacting this community. We've grown into outreach and a mission that's happening literally all over the world. Not only in this community, but all over the world. And everybody seems to find their own reason to say, "I love this church. This is my church. These are my people." In fact, let me just ask you a question as we get started this morning, and take it in the right spirit. It might seem a little self-serving, but you'll see what I mean in a minute. If you're a part of this church family, if you're not yet, you can just check out and listen in. But if you're part of this church family, what is it that you love about the Fountain? What is it that you love about the Fountain? What is it that, maybe let me ask you this. What is it that drew your family to be part of this movement? It's one of those things where we can say a lot of different things, right? Many of us can say, some of you are naming some softball, all these things, right? but there's all sorts of things, right? Some of you might say stuff like, you know, our kids ministry or student ministry. And I love how this church is a church that's impacting the next generation and is committed and investing in it. And it's true. Some of you might say stuff that you encounter in worship, how it's relevant and you like the music and all sorts of things. I hear a lot of people say, I love this church because it's a place that I can connect. It's a church where I can belong. This is like a family. Some people might say, well, I like the way, you know, that I can serve in significant ways. I don't know what it is for you, but let me just ask you that. If you were to run into somebody today where they said, hey, I saw you checked in on your phone. I saw that you go to the Fountain. And somebody were to say, tell me about what you love. Like, why do you go there? What's your why? What's your why? The reason that's important is I think we always have to be ready for an opportunity. And the thing is, if you're not yet, if you're new here and this is maybe your first time, like, don't be intimidated by that question. Our hope is that you'll get connected here, that you'll find a home here, and that through this church, you'll discover your why. But our goal at the Fountain is not just that you would fall in love with this church, right? The goal is that through this church and through the ministry here, you would fall more in love with Jesus. That you'd want to fall more in love with Jesus and follow him with your life. And so what's your why? Well, today we're beginning a brand new series called Neighbors. And it's interesting because the title, when you first see Neighbors, you might have a lot of different feelings. Because when it comes to neighbors, everybody knows that there's the good, and there's the bad, and then there's the ugly. In fact, I'm looking forward to telling you an ugly story in the next couple weeks, okay, about a neighbor that I encountered, right, when we first moved in, right? We all have people like that. A lot of us know that neighbors, right, you know, there's all these sayings about neighbors. Good fences make good neighbors, right? You know, you kind of keep your neighbors out. This is kind of what we think about. I want to make sure that my neighbors are nice. And a lot of times, we don't want to get to know our neighbors too closely. We want to kind of stay in our bubble. Or maybe we're like, we don't want to tell them where we go to church because then, I mean, what if they don't like it and then I got to live next to them? Or you know, what if we invite them to our church and then they see how we live and they realize that we're not perfect in everything? You know, so there's all these things when it comes to neighbors. There's a lot of expectations and a lot of feelings. And so today what we're going to be doing in this series, we're going to be looking at the neighbor's idea more generally, the way Jesus looks at it. In fact, for the next 4 weeks leading up to Easter Sunday, we're going to talk about how we can show and how we can share God's love with people around us, with all people. And we're going to look at why that matters and why you should care about that. You know, and I want to tell you up front why we're doing this series. Every single series, every single week, I pray over, God, what do you want me to say? What is it that we need in this season? And I really, this has been something that's been so on my heart that God has made it so crystal clear. Andy, this is what people need to hear. And the big reason, here's what it is. I really feel like God has been showing me, that God's been saying, Andy, I want you to help people to see how much I really love people. I want you to show people how much I really love people and my passion and my compassion to help people experience life in me. Like, if you could just see that, if we could just feel that, if we could just experience that, man, it would change the way we interact with all of the neighbors in our lives. And the truth is, my prayer is that God would turn up the temperature of your heart over the next 4 weeks as we're preparing for Easter Sunday. He's risen not just for us, but he's risen for all, right? And so I pray that God would turn up the temperature in your heart, that God would open up your eyes, and that God would send you out to better love people around you. You know, one of the greatest scandals in the Bible is this reality. It seemed to be how Jesus, it was, you know, he's this holy son of God, and yet it was a scandal in the way he loved people who seemed so undeserving. There's a lot of people that would say, well, how can you be so holy, Jesus, and so, you know, so good and so holy, and yet you hang out with these crazy people that seem far from God? In fact, Jesus had this confusing reputation among the religious community during his time. Now, everybody loved Jesus, but the religious leaders weren't really sure because they would see Jesus and they would say, wait a minute, Jesus, that's the guy who is so religious and so holy, and yet why is he hanging out with people like that? Why is he hanging out with the tax collectors and sinners? Why is he loving the broken and the poor? Why is he loving people who are such sinners, who are so far from God? And it's one of those things where as they saw this, I love that reputation of Jesus. Like, one of the things that I think about when I read the Gospels and I see the scandalous love that God has for all people, I start to think in my life, I want to have that reputation too. I want you to have that reputation. And I want the Fountain to be a church that has a reputation of loving every single person so well and so completely that we start to look more like Jesus. And so one time Jesus was teaching and there was a big crowd that was gathered around him. And tucked in the crowd, there were these, I guess, detractors. They were these people, those same religious leaders, those same religious people that were trying to figure Jesus out. Like, how can you be so holy and yet hang out with people who are such sinners and who are so much further beyond where we are in our faith, right? And so these people were called the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And the Pharisees were a group of people who, in trying to follow God, they made things, they seemed to make religion all about rules. And they missed the reality that God wanted people to experience a relationship. And so they would make this, put this fence around religion, put this fence and all these rules around all the different things that God was calling people to do. And instead of them being liberating, instead of them leading people to freedom and to God, oftentimes, it just led people to burnout. And religion became one of these things where it's like, ugh, I don't want to do that, and I've got to do this in order to please God, and I can't do that. And so the Sadducees, though, they were a group that was kind of like that. And this will be kind of a fun way to remember this that you'll never forget, maybe. The Sadducees were similar, except for one thing. They didn't believe in the resurrection. That's why they were so sad, you see, right? The sad you sees, right? This is like stupid stuff. Hope you'll remember that. But anyway, so the Pharisees and Sadducees are in the crowd. They're tucked away, and instead of listening to the teachings of Jesus and saying, oh, this is amazing how much you love people, they're looking back with their, probably their arms crossed, tapping their foot, inspecting him. Are you really of God? Do you really believe in this stuff? How can you be so loving when you're so holy, supposedly? And so they're looking for a reason. They ask Jesus this question to test him and to see if he really knows the scriptures like they do. And so here's what it says, Matthew's gospel, Matthew chapter 22, starting with verse 34. It says this. It says, hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, that's why they were so sad, you see, they didn't believe in the resurrection, right? Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. So now it's their turn, putting a box around religion, right? And it says, one of them, an expert in the law. What's the law? The law is the law of Moses, basically the first five books of the Old Testament. They had it memorized. They knew everything about it. They're experts in the law. And so one of them tested Jesus with this question. And here's what they said. It says, teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? It says, Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. It says, this is the first and greatest commandment. Now, this wasn't a new thing. Everybody's like, yep, he got the answer right. And he says this. He says, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor, there's our word, love your neighbor as yourself. And he says this crazy thing here. He says, all the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. And everybody's scratching their head because they're like, no, there's like 700 and something laws. There's 700 things that we've got to put a box around religion in order to follow God. There's not just two. And Jesus is like, you don't understand. Everything that I've been communicating and everything that my Father has been communicating ever since the book of Genesis, all the way to the law, all the way to the prophets, all the way to Revelation, can be wrapped up and tied up into this idea that you love God and you love people. This is the greatest commandment. This is the great commandment. Love God and love people. And so when Jesus uses this term, love your neighbors, he says your neighbors, he's not talking about just loving people who are next to you, some of you, who live next to you. Some of you are like, well, thank God, because I'm not in that category with my neighbor, right? They cut the grass too short on my side, whatever. Some of you, it's not an opt-out, right? It's actually more expansive than that. It means, yep, your neighbor right next to you and the people that are around you. But it doesn't just mean people who like you. And it doesn't just mean people who are similar to you. But Jesus' call is this: I want you to love all people. Because that's what Jesus did for you. Jesus' love was extended for all people, even for us. And even today, God is on a mission. Jesus is on a mission to extend his love to every single person. And for Jesus, that's why it's not just about loving God. A lot of times we think, if I want to follow God, all I got to do is love God and stay close to God. And Jesus is like, nope. That's the root of what enables you to love other people. But here's what it's tied up in. You can't just love on the vertical plane without loving people on the horizontal plane. Because if you think that you love God vertically and you don't love people horizontally, it says that maybe we don't quite know God, right? Because love comes from God. And the truth is, those things have to be connected. The love of God inside of you has to pour over into loving action for other people if the love of God is real in your life. And so here's really the big idea. I just really want to share one big idea today from this scripture, and I think it's going to be helpful for you. And it's this. This is the big idea. It's because when you love people, it points people to God. When you love people, it points people to God. Now, let me tell you this. Many, many people today, especially in this community, assume that what the Pharisees believed was true. A lot of people today think that God is just for religious people. Maybe they don't say it, but God is just for the church people, A lot of people today, kind of behind the scenes, they kind of think that God is for people who have their lives together, who have it all figured out, nothing, no blemishes, no speed bumps in their story. That God is for people who grew up in church. God's for people who know a whole lot about the Bible. In fact, one of the things that when we moved to the area, crazy story, the very first day we moved into our home, our neighbor came over to say hey to us, and she says, "Hey, I hear you're a pastor." And it's like, that, just to let you know, that is good and bad sometimes, right? Like, it either means, like, and some people, it either means, oh, that's really great, you're a pastor, that's sweet that you do stuff for, you know, all that. Or it means, you know, you see that people stop cussing and they hide their beer, right? You see that. Or you just, people are like, oh, cool, and they just keep going on life like always, you know? And it's just kind of funny how that works. So I didn't know, am I supposed to protect myself? I'm a pastor. And she says, that's great, I hear you're starting a church. I said, is that good? You know, I said, yeah, we're starting a church. And she said, well, I don't go to church anywhere, and I want to be part of your church. I thought, thank you, God, this is going to be so easy. Day one, one person, right? And it's gotten a lot harder than just that. People don't just show up and say, I'm going to be part of this immediately. But anyway, we started talking to her and found out that she really had no background at all about God or church or anything. In fact, Mandy was talking to her one time, and Adam and Eve got brought up. And she said, who's that? Who's Adam and Eve? This is like our neighbor in this community. And, you know, to keep our jaw from hitting the floor, you know. It's one of those things where we realized in order to reach people that nobody's reaching, you have to sometimes go back and not assume that everybody knows everything, right? You have to go back to lead people where they are and to help them to start walking and following Jesus. Right? And so it taught me in a lot of ways in the first year and a half of this church, it was a whole lot of that. It was a whole lot of stories like that, but it was so exciting, and it still is. But this church, large percentage of people were like, I've never been to church. I'm still figuring out this God stuff. And we're like, great. We're glad you're here. Come on in. And many of the people that you see in this room that you say, wow, they're an amazing leader. They're an amazing Christian. They were some of those same people. And God's done such a great work in their life in 6 years that now they're on fire for Jesus and leaders in this church, right? But here's the thing, that we saw this happen. We saw this happen where people just assume that it's not for me. And there's this epidemic, this widespread problem in this community where a whole lot of people have started to believe, well, I guess this God stuff just really isn't for people like me. Like, it's not relevant. It's not helpful. It doesn't apply to me. In fact, you know this. You see this in your neighborhood. You see this in your schools. You see this really all over the community. In fact, let me just, a little group participation here, be honest about this, but how many of you know someone in this community who is not connected to a local church or who doesn't have a relationship with Jesus? How many of you know somebody in that category? Yeah, hopefully everybody does, right? You're going to see in a minute why it's so important. You know, we're seeing a growing phenomenon today that's widely been called the rise of the nuns. The rise of the nuns. Now, this sounds like a great Star Wars movie, you know, or something like that. It don't think that this is like the Catholic nuns are going to revolt against something, right? The rise of the nuns. What this is basically about is this is a category of people. What we're seeing today, according to Pew Research Center, is the second largest a religious group in America now are people who say they have absolutely no religious affiliation. The second largest religious group in America now is none, no affiliation. Now, that can mean a lot of things, but it's oftentimes means two things, that people are either atheist, like, I just don't believe in God, right, or apathetic. Like, what does this have to do with me? Why should I care about church? Why should I care about God? You see this all over this community. In other words, it's one of the things, the rise of the nuns, this group called the nuns, now makes up almost 1/4 of the entire United States population. The need is big and the need is growing. But here's the thing, here's where it, you know, oftentimes when I talk to people about vision and what God is calling them to do, one of the questions I always say is, what is it that breaks your heart? What is it that fires you up, and what is it that breaks your heart? Here's what breaks my heart, and here's what fires me up. It's this. It's that within a 5-mile radius of Lambert High School, right up the road, if you were to draw a 5-mile circle, here's some stats of the area. There's 151,000 people, a little bit more than that, that live in this community. That's a lot of people. That's more people than Sanford Stadium can hold and the Gwinnett Arena combined. So imagine every single person is a seat. It's a lot of people, right? And so 151,000 people live here, and it's growing. In fact, in the next 10 years, this area is projected to grow another 42%, according to Mission Insight, another 42%, from 151,000 to about 115,000 people. And some of you are like, I feel claustrophobic thinking about that, right? Here's the thing. I want you to check this out. You see the growth. You see the opportunity. Now, I want you to see this next thing about the spiritual condition of people in this area. According to Mission Insight, here's what people within this area say. Because we get this data from census stuff, and here's what people have answered. 35% of that 5-mile radius, 35% of the people here say that they consider themselves a spiritual person. Just 35%. And that includes all religious perspectives. 35%. And so when we say stats like about 80% of people in this area are not connected to a local church, you see really quickly why. Here's the next thing that's a little bit more jaw-dropping. Only 15.9% of the people in this area say that it's important to attend religious services. 15.9%. It's crazy. Now, here's the thing that breaks my heart. Here's the last one is this. Is that only 8.4% of people in this area say that my faith is important to me. 8.4%. And so you ask, what is it that wakes you up? What is it that breaks your heart? What is it that fires you up? This is why the fountain exists. This is our why. Our why is we exist as a church to stand in that gap. To reach people who are looking for a church, yes, but to reach back, to go wherever we can, to bring people into a growing relationship with Jesus, no matter where they are, no matter where they've been, no matter what they've done, right? And the thing is, our mission is to help people to move from saying Jesus is irrelevant to my life to seeing how Jesus can change their lives. You know, and those numbers, those are not just numbers. Those stats are so much bigger than that. Because every number has a name. Every name has a story. And every story matters to God. The thing that I know is that for us as a church, what does that mean? What does that mean? I mean, a lot of times people ask, like, why does the fountain exist? You know, we got churches here and there and there and there. You know, people still say that sometimes. Like, we all are meeting in a school. You know, why do we even need this church? You see why. But what does that mean for us? It means that we're not called to just be another church. This area doesn't just need another church. We're not called to just do church and to do ministry the way that it's always been done and hope for a different result. That's insanity, right? See, we're called, instead, the thing is, if we do that, it's one of those things where people will still be out in the community who are walking past Jesus saying, I don't see how this is relevant to my life. People will be walking past Jesus, walking past the life and the hope that they were made for, thinking that God's irrelevant and his love isn't for them. We at the Fountain, we're here to stand in that gap. Now, our passion as a church is to help people to experience Jesus in a way that's real, in a way that's tangible, in a way that's relevant to our lives. And are we perfect? No way. Good thing, because God's grace covers all of our sins, right? And we're here to not tell people how great we are, but to point people to the one who is. And so that's why when we communicate, when I try to communicate on Sunday mornings from preaching, from the music you hear, to our student ministry and our kids ministry, to our refresh groups, to everything we do, we try to do ministry, we try to share the gospel with not archaic or confusing language. You know, I just kind of really believe that, like, let's not create complicated steps and hoops that people have to jump through in order to get to Jesus. That's what the Pharisees did, right? And so the thing is, what we're here to do is we want to create a way to Jesus that's accessible and shows people that Jesus is helpful to their lives. And I really believe that Jesus can change the course of this community. He can change the story of those stats in this community. And the truth is, God is crazy in love with people in this community. He's crazy in love with people in this community and all over the world. But people in this community need to know that God is for them, that God came for them. And it's our job and it's your job in order to communicate that by the way you serve and by the way you give, by the way you love and by the way you share. That's God's mission for us. You know, in Luke's gospel, in Luke chapter 15, Jesus tells a series of three parables about lost things. And the parables are kind of interesting because, they kind of grow in intensity. And we see this story, we see this picture as Jesus tells, we learn how God is not satisfied with just a status quo impact when it comes to the kingdom of God and people's lives. Like, we see this picture of how God is like a good shepherd who has 100 sheep. And when one sheep goes astray and kind of gets lost, the good shepherd, God, is not a kind of God that says, well, we got 99 others here. Let's just camp out and hang out and pitch a tent and have fun and just hang out. No. What does the shepherd do? What does God do? He turns around. He leaves the 99 and says, stay here. You're going to be safe. And he goes to wherever that lost sheep is in order to find the one who's lost, in order to bring that one through his love into the fold, into connection with him. That's the kind of love that God has for us. He wants to bring people in connection with it, with our Maker and our Savior. And the truth is, when we go to people, when we try to love people in our spheres of influence, we're not bringing God to people. See, God, the truth is, God is already at work in the heart and life of every single person. Our job is to simply show up and pay attention, to find ways to just shine a light on the God who's already drawing every person. And so the thing is, the reason God says that the number one commandment is that we love God and love people is because love points people to God. That's why it's so important. Love, when it's shown and when it's communicated, is what can turn apathetic people and turn them to God. And here's just a helpful reminder. I was trying to think, okay, what does that mean to love people? Does that mean just you just have emotions and feelings of just, I love them? No. Here's kind of a way to remember this. Here's what love is. Love is compassion put into action. Love is compassion put into action. It's not enough to just think about loving people, but it means it's compassion that's put into action. And so I want to encourage you to dream and to be creative. The Holy Spirit is at work in the hearts and lives of all of us, which means that I don't have all the answers of how to do it, but I believe that God speaks to every single person. And if you dream and if you're creative, God will show you ways that you can put compassion into action to shine a light that points people to God's love. And you can start right in your own family, right in your own neighborhood, in your school, on your ball team. You can start exactly where people are. And so what if we were known by the way we loved one another? Don't you think God would change people's lives through that? You know, as a church, we're called to show people by the way we love and by the way we care and by the way we invest in this community that really Jesus' love is real and it's for them. And that means that we can't just put up a sign. It's not enough to just put up a sign and say, y'all come be a part of the church, right? It's not enough to do that. Because here's the thing, when people see a church sign, when many people see a church advertisement, there's a whole lot of people that say, oh, that's nice, there's a church. There's a whole lot of people that it's just white noise. It's meaningless to so many people. Because there's a lot of people that automatically disqualify themselves because they think, look, this just isn't for me, or it's not relevant to me. And so it's one of those things where the way people find out that God's love is real and God's love is for them is when people of the church decide to go and bring God's love to people and invite them to experience God. You know, one of the reasons we're called the fountain, in Psalm 36, it says, for you, God, are the fountain of life, and in your light we see light. But there's this cool story in John chapter 4 with the woman at the well, where Jesus, it's interesting, this woman goes to draw water from a well in the middle of the day in the Middle East. Now, you don't ever do that because it's scorching hot. And so we find out really quickly she's probably hiding something, hiding from someone, and probably even hiding from God. And we learn a lot about her past, that she has a lot of skeletons in her closet. But this woman is very representative and might as well be talking about us and people in our spheres of influence. But we see the story and the strategy of how God reaches people, because what happens is, in the story of John chapter 4, Jesus, he didn't just wait put up a sign, you know, kind of in a distance from the water well and say, hey, if you want life, you can come here, right? What Jesus did is, as the woman comes to draw water from a well, Jesus is already sitting there. He's already in the community. He's already in a place where people naturally come and where people are looking for life. They're looking for water. And when she comes to draw water from a well, he pointed them to the living fountain, to the living water that's found in him. And it's one of those things where I love this because it means that for us, we don't just wait on people to come to us. It means as a church, we've got to bring God's love into our community in order to show people that God's real. And that's my why. That's why I love the fountain. The reason I love the fountain is not because I was the first here. A lot of people say, well, you must love this church because, you know, this is your baby. Like, no, it's not. Like, well, you started. Nope, it's not my baby. It's never been my baby, and it's never been about me. The fountain is not my baby, and it's not any individual person's baby. The fountain is God's church. The fountain is a church for us, and it's a church for this community. It's always been about that. And so for me, the reason I love the fountain is not because of the history of where we've been and what we've gone through and all that stuff. That's just to remind us of how good God has been. The reason I love the fountain is because I love our mission. I love the future more than I even love the past, because where we're going is so much greater than even where we are. I love the fountain because we're a church who seriously cares about people. We're striving to. We're a church that I'm crazy about the fountain because I love that we have a bold mission to reach out to all people to help them to connect with God. But this mission, it requires that we don't get comfortable where we are. And it's hard as we've grown to a place where we've moved from small church to rubbing against medium church and teetering back and forth. It means that we can't get comfortable with where we are. It means like cement. Have you ever seen cement that's, you know, you pour it down, they got to keep stirring it? We got to make sure that we can't be dry cement. It means that we got to keep stirring so that the mission of God doesn't settle, and we don't settle for just good enough. It means that we can't stop reaching. It means we can't stop loving people to Jesus, because there's over 100,000 people within a 5-mile radius of Lambert, just up the road from us. There's over 100,000 people who are looking for life and are looking for the God that they were longing for, but aren't connected to a local church. And it means that we can't just wait around. We can't just wait around. I know we cast vision about our Imagine More campaign, and we're excited about God moving us into our future church home someday. But it means, and I've been convicted about this, we can't wait until that day we get into a facility in order to start doing the mission even more then. The mission and the ministry's now. It means we got to invite people now. We got to love people now, because there's a whole lot of people waiting to experience Jesus, and they need us to be the church. And so as long as there's more people to reach, there's always going to be more work to do. But the key to reaching new people is always this. It's always this, and really to being a healthy church, it's lumped up in this, is that we would love God and that we would love people the way we love ourselves. And so I want to encourage you to do two quick things in order to do this. How do you love people? How do you love people well? Number one, I want to encourage you to pray for people in your sphere of influence. Pray for people in your sphere of influence. That means when you pray for people, God grows your compassion for people. And I want to encourage you to pray for your neighbors and for your friends, for people in your sphere of influence, for people around you. And don't just pray for their ailments and their boo-boos, right? Like, pray for all their health and all that. We're good at that. But pray for them to experience God. Pray for your neighbors to experience God's love, and pray that God would enable you to be an agent that shares that with them. Second thing I want to encourage you to do is this. I want you to do one thing every single day to put compassion into action. Find one thing to do every single day where you can put compassion into action. It could be, hey, you go make brownies for somebody in your neighborhood. It could be you go serve in the school, or you go serve somewhere in the community. It could be a lot of different things. It could be that you grab coffee with a friend and talk to them just to be a good friend. The thing is, the reason we do this is because when you love people, it points people to God. When you love people, it points people to God. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for this great reminder of how you're called to love every single person, how much you first loved us, God. And I just pray that as we look back at what you've done and as we look ahead to the future, that I thank you, God, that you're calling this church and you're calling us to be a part of something so much bigger. There's a whole lot of people. There's a whole lot of people in this community who are looking for life, who are looking for hope and purpose and wholeness. And God, I just pray that you would help us individually this week to find ways to put compassion into action, to help people to shine a light of Jesus in our spheres of influence. God, I pray that for your blessing over this church, that you would continue to use us. We give you thanks for our history and for our past, but we look forward with excitement and with expectation about where you're leading us and what you're going to do in the future. God, we give you thanks for the opportunity to be a part of your mission. Help us. Help us, God, by your power, by your love, to love one another the way you first loved us. And we ask this in your name. Amen.